We pray. Heavenly Father, glorious Lord, you who are infinite in your power, your knowledge, your love for us. What a great and good shepherd we truly have, dear Lord. What do we fear with our shepherd at hand to guide and guard and lead and love us all the days of our life on into eternity? Oh, may our hearts be filled with thanks and praise as you carry us in your all-powerful arms. In Christ our Savior, amen. Have you ever had someone stalk you? Someone who's always just following you around, biting at your heels, trying to find something that's wrong, something that they can accuse you of and torment your life? I wonder if that's how Jesus felt as these Jews just kept on following Jesus everywhere, trying to trap him, trick him, get him to say something that they could bring charges against him. Well, in our text, we have a group of Jews that come and confront Jesus on the day of dedication, posing a question, just seeing if he steps in a trap. It was interesting because it is on the day of dedication. This isn't a festival that God had established for his Old Testament church. This is more of a Jewish custom to celebrate the Maccabean Revolt in B.C. 164. This is the day when, or the time when, Antiochus Epiphanes brought in the Syrian army down on Jerusalem, and they conquered them, and they defiled the temple of God, putting up all kinds of pagan idols and slaughtering pigs on God's altar. Well, for three long years of battle, Judas Maccabeus finally pushed the Syrian army out of Jerusalem. And then he cleansed the temple and rededicated the temple, also that the Israelites could once again worship their God. And from that time on, every year they had a special feast of dedication. Today they call it Hanukkah. But in our account, our gospel lesson this morning, we see them celebrating a feast of dedication, but these Jews' hearts are not dedicated to the Lord. The Lord is standing right before them, and their hearts are fouled with unbelief. Oh, on the outside, they look perfectly pious, wonderful spiritual fellows. But on the inside, they simply just want to attack Jesus. They come with what seems to be a very innocent question. But as the conversation unfolds, Jesus reveals what's truly in their hearts as they turn on him. They start out with the question, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus saw through their false piety, and he gets right to the heart of it. He says, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The problem isn't that Jesus isn't clear. The problem is they have no faith. They are not the sheep of his pasture. His sheep believe in him. He takes it one step further and says, yes, I am the Messiah, but let me tell you just exactly what that means to be God's Messiah. He says, I and my Father are one. Oh, that's when everything broke loose. In the verses that follow our text this morning, they actually pick up stones, they're ready to stone him and charge him with blasphemy. And they say, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. He is truly human, but he is also truly God, all in one. And that's what they were missing. And that's what we celebrate. Jesus and the Father are one. Our Jesus is the Almighty God. Now that's saying a lot, even today. In our world, people won't mind if you say Jesus was a wise person or Jesus was a miracle worker. Why, you can even say Jesus was a prophet of the Most High. But when you say Jesus is Almighty God, That's when people might start picking up stones and hurling them in our direction. Because ultimately, in our sinful nature, we want ourselves to be our own God, not this peasant Jew. But Jesus is our almighty God. He, the creator and sustainer of the entire universe, all that is created. He is the one who is all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, present absolutely everywhere, and all-loving. Jesus, you are our Messiah, we believe. It strikes me as a little odd here that we use the word Messiah, that anointed one, the Christ, the one chosen by God to be the Redeemer of the world. For centuries and centuries, on into ancient history, the Jews had been waiting for the Messiah to come from Israel. Isn't it ironic that when he finally arrives, they don't see it? They don't get it. Jesus sure doesn't look like the kind of Messiah they were looking for. And isn't that ironic? Most of us are Gentiles, non-Jewish people. Our ancient ancestors weren't looking for any Messiah to come out of Israel. And yet here we are, claiming this Jewish Messiah to be our Messiah, our deliverer, our Savior from sin, and in so doing, being sheep of his flock. Jesus is our Messiah. He is the one who has lifted this curse of our sins off of our shoulders and has borne it on his shoulders. 60 years ago, when I was a little tad, my perception of America was that we were much more Christianized. Virtually everyone had some acquaintance with Jesus and the Christian faith, and even though the veneer might have been rather thin, there was some general acknowledgement that Jesus was truly God. I don't get that impression of America today. My impression today is we can walk down the street and there's lots of people who have no knowledge, no interest, no connection with Jesus and the Christian faith in any way, shape, or form, and they're perfectly happy with that. How sad. We Christians now seem almost the odd ones in the group. We walk down the street with a firm conviction, our good shepherd is by our side. He has redeemed us and guides us and guards us, and we're in his safe keeping. When so many others have no clue as to what Jesus has done for them, sacrificed for them, has prepared for them, and they'll miss out on it all. Our Almighty God, Jesus, has wrapped us in his forgiveness, bathed us in his love, and whispers his powerful promises into our ears, down into our hearts, and so many others are totally clueless. They try to rescue themselves from a guilty conscience by doing all kinds of strange things for a make-believe God of their own imaginations, only to, at the end of the day, to still remain hopeless and helpless and frustrated. But our good shepherd has spoken his word into our hearts. He has pierced our darkness with his light, and he has called us from unbelief to being the very sheep in his pasture, the children in his family, our Messiah, our Savior. And in trusting in him, God fills us with peace and hope, wisdom, power, love. So many gifts that people do not have if they are not sheep of his pasture. Why, it might be hard for us to even envision living without Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Jesus tells these Jews, he takes it one step further. He spells out that what it's different between being the sheep of his pasture and not the sheep, unbelievers. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Wow. These Jews had no contact with Jesus, nor did they want any. But Jesus speaks of a powerful, intimate friendship and relationship that he has with each and every one of us. Jesus, you know us. We will follow, we will listen and follow you. Think of that a second. Jesus knows us. He doesn't just know about us. He knows each and every one of us individually, completely. There are no secrets from Jesus. You know, we use those words, friends, family, for those people who really do get us. They understand us. They know what makes us tick. They know how we think. And they know why we're so different than the person sitting next to us. What's truly precious in our heart and what is terribly fearful in our heart. What we dream of and what we soar to accomplish and what has truly broken us and has taken us so long to get past and heal from. Our friends, our family, they know our inner thoughts and what we hope to aspire, and they know what really threatens us and puts us in a panic. And what we so love about our friends and our family is they know all the good and the garbage about us, and they still love us. Well, Jesus knows everything about us. The good and the garbage, the light and the dark, what we're most proud of and what we're most ashamed of. He knows how weak we truly are, and even how many times we try to lie to ourselves. But he loves us. He loves us enough to pour out his holy blood to give us life through his life and death and resurrection. He knows us so well, and he knows exactly what we need, not only for life everlasting in heaven, but he knows exactly what we need every day that we live on the face of this world. And he wants us to flourish under the sunshine of his care and goodness that our good shepherd lavishes upon us. And so in his deepest desires for us to truly have a blessed, wonderful life, he says, listen to me, follow me, and you will have a wonderful life. Misery and suffering comes upon us whenever we decide, no, I'm not going to listen to you, Lord. I'm going to go my own way. I'm not going to follow your path. That story never turns out happy. Examples. Misery and suffering comes upon every single husband and wife who uses their marriage to feed their own sinful nature. They think they're really going to get ahead and have a wonderful marriage because it's going to be their way. And what comes down on their head? Oh, a house filled with selfishness, arguing, manipulation, regret and guilt. But blessed and happy are the husband and wife who put away their sinful nature and truly listen to their God, because he speaks volumes about how to be holy husbands and wives and be conduits of God's love and peace in our home. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Oh, how peaceful marriages would be if we practiced that truth and lived those words. He also says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is our head. Satan wants nothing to do with the truth, and he certainly doesn't want us to speak anything in love. But in pain and misery and grief and guilt and fear, Jesus says, my sheep, listen to me. Are we listening? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And so it is for raising children too. There is a way of raising children that is very pleasing to the Lord. And there is a way of raising them that is not pleasing to the Lord. Are we listening? or take any other aspect of our life. How about when we have enemies, enemies who want to attack us, who want to haunt us and say terrible things about people who are actually looking for ways to harm us? What is our sinful nature's way of handling such trouble? What is our good shepherd's way? He says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Really, Lord? That's wise advice? You really know what you're talking about? Try it. See what happens. Our good shepherd knows what he's saying. Jesus also knows how powerful our sinful nature is and temptation. Oh, when our sinful nature attacks us, it can be overwhelming. But Jesus comes again. I'm your good shepherd. I know exactly how to win the victory over every sinful passion, evil desire. He tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. There is actual armor that he gives us, that we might stand firm in the day of evil and not collapse. Are we armored with the armor of our good shepherd? My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And oh, what a different life there is between following the Lord and wandering away from him. And fortunately, in his love, he comes after us and comes after us and comes after us because he knows the best life possible is staying close to our good shepherd and his holy word. You know, as we remember Good Friday, we remember that there were two thieves that died with Jesus that day, one on his right and one on his left. And yet Jesus promised only to one of them that they would be in paradise with him. Another difference between believers and unbelievers, those who are his sheep and those who are not, the difference stretches out into all eternity. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Jesus, you give us eternal life. We will rest in peace. What a peace he gives us. Peace is hard to find in this world. That's a pretty small place to be in because there's so much war, anger, upheaval everywhere we go, in governments and in relationships. All around us, people have no real peace. They're like the restless ocean that refuses to be calmed. Wave after wave, we're tossed and turned in a cycle of sin and guilt and fear, and then more sin, more guilt, more fear, and people are drowning out there, drowning in their own sins and wretchedness and of no peace. What a contrast for the people of God. It's like living in a plush garden in the middle of a desert. He provides all that we need that we might rest in peace. He's washed us clean. He's made us his own. We sit in the palm of his hand and he says, no one can take you from me. Just like the prophet, I will lift them up in my righteous right hand, God promises. Or as Apostle Paul told the Romans, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can get between us and him. He has signed, sealed, and delivered our salvation so that we might rest in peace, not be in turmoil, but know that his forgiveness truly does rest on us and we are his. He is ours in this world and the next. The psalmist says, he takes me by my right hand, he guides me with his counsel, and afterwards he will take me into glory. The psalmist is echoing Jesus' words here. He takes me by my right hand. I am his. He's got a hold of me, and he's never letting me go. Guides me with his counsel, fills me with his word. The good shepherd speaks to his lamb, and the lamb comes running. He fills us with his light divine so that the darkness does not overwhelm us. And then he takes us into glory to be with him forever. Oh, how blessed it is to be the children of God, to have that quiet peace in our shepherd's love and forgiveness and power that the world does not know. All the more reason to share it with them, with those who are tormented with this world and their sins, to come into the peace that we have been given, that they might share eternity with us. He has claimed us to be his own. We are his and he is ours. Jesus is our almighty God. And so we are safe, secure. What do we have to fear? Our good shepherd is our constant companion through this world and on into the next. And so we rejoice. We rejoice to be able to be dedicated and to rededicate ourselves, that we might live for him, that we might listen to him, that we might walk through each and every day holding on to his precious promises, that because he lives, we too shall live, and in him have life, and as he describes it, and have it to the full. Oh Lord, may this be the blessing you pour out on us. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, into your hands we commit our life, our coming and going, our time in this world. Be with us, dear Lord, for we are not the caretakers of our days and of our lives, but our good shepherd who guides us ever onward. Powerfully and wonderfully, use your word to fill our hearts with your light and your joy, that we might live all of our days in honor of you, now and forever, to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.